Isn't it wonderful to know we don't have to do without him? That the choice is ours, and I choose him this morning. The Bible teaches me and tells me that he chose me. But you know what? I had the opportunity to choose him for my father as well. Thank you, Darnell. Judy and I, this is my baby sister, y'all. This is my baby sister. I appreciate her so much coming with me today. But on the way here, I had been studying some. We have our women's ministries meeting tonight at our church, and we had been studying. We're going to study tonight the names of God. And on the way here, she had the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir just singing away, and they were singing about the names of God. And then Darnell just stands up and talks about it again, and we're just looking at each other like, "We'll get it after a while, God. You keep telling it, we'll get it after a while." I want to tell you, He is my refuge. He is my refuge. He is my high tower, church. I want to tell you, he's been real to me, and I appreciate him as my father. I've known him as a father, and I've known him as a friend. How many of you love that song, The Goodness of God? Anybody heard that song recently? I love you, Lord. And that second verse says, I love your voice. It has led me through the fire in the darkest night. Oh, you are close like no other. That's the God, the refuge that we serve. I bless his name. I bless his name. I don't know how long Brother Jerry preaches to you, but it's all right if I go ahead. Right, Brother Jerry, we're going to just preach to you this morning. If you amen me real quick, I might just hurry up real quick. How about that? But I'm going to be reading to you this morning from Psalms chapter 40. If you would like to turn there or find it on your device, and I believe that they're going to be showing it on the screen. But I thank you for allowing me to be a part of your day, and I thank you for the leadership of Edna doing a great job in your women's ministries. Ladies, thank you for all that you do for the kingdom of God and how you have given so liberally and generously. And I know it's not just the ladies that do that. It takes the men folks to do that as well. So I just thank you for the things that you are doing for the kingdom of God. But I want to get right into the word of the Lord this morning. And I want us to just, I want to get right to what God said. He's been talking to me this week. I thought I was going to preach something else to you. And then Holy Spirit, it just seemed like he kept dealing with me another way. But I want to ask you this morning, how many of you have been praying and how many of you have been waiting on the Lord for an answer that can only come from him? Come on. Hallelujah. I can say that, y'all. I'm a situation in my life that things can only come from the Lord. Well, I want to tell you this morning, I'd already planned to tell you that we don't have to keep waiting because the Spirit of the Lord is in the house. I have felt him there this morning. The El Shaddai that we sang about, the God that is more than enough, he is in the house. Come on. The Jehovah Jireh. I heard Sister Teresa back there saying that. The Jehovah Jireh, our provider, is in the house. Come on. Jehovah Rapha, our healer, he is in the house. And he has the power this morning to lift us up and out of the miry clays that we are in. His power has not diminished. So I want to ask you this morning, not only how are you praying or what are you praying? I do want to ask you, how are you praying? I believe that God cares. He said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and verse 17, he said, we are to pray without ceasing. Come on, never stop. You know, we sing that song that he never stops. He never stops working. Well, I'm going to tell you, never stop praying. Come on, never stop praying. And I was reading and I went back to James in chapter 5 and 16. And he said, this is the way you ought to pray, that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, it availeth much. I want to tell you, sometimes I just have to shout it out to the Lord. And I do what Hebrews, the writer of the Hebrews said in chapter 4, I come boldly to the throne, hallelujah, to receive the grace and mercy that I need in the time of trouble. trouble. Oh, hallelujah. How we pray is important to the Lord. But I also believe that the attitude that we have toward the promises of God, all of them are ours. But I believe that some of them, we got to take them by force, church. We got to take them by force. Matthew 11 and 12 said, the violent take it by force. You know what that is? That's a warrior with an impetuous zeal who goes after what God has promised them and declares that it is mine in the name of Jesus. Just like, and compares it to that warrior who goes in and fights the battle and all the spoil is there. I'm going to tell you, they run in there with a spirit of haste. They run in there with a spirit of force and they begin to gather it up. That which they are going to take back home and enjoy. I believe that God is saying we need to have an eagerness when we pray. That's the way we ought to pray. But we ought to pray. God declares how that He cares about how we wait. Not only how we pray, but how we wait. You know, sometimes we wait with a wavering faith. We say these things, well, you know, I know He can, but will He do it? Will He do it for me? My God said He would do it for me. Hallelujah. Oh, sometimes we got even a spirit of arrogance as we're waiting and we're saying, well, I deserve His blessings. I've done this and I've done that. And I want to tell you, none of us have been to the cross. None of us have laid our life down. Hallelujah. For the sins of mankind. We have no right to be arrogant. Sometimes we wait in a spirit of impatience. Oh, Lord, help me. I need to, my toes. Let me hang them right off the side so I don't step on my own. But we wait in a spirit of impatience. We want it now. We want it in our time. We want it in our way. But in our scripture today, from Psalms chapter 40, David said, this is the way. This is the way that I wait. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord. You know what David was saying? He was saying, I don't push my agenda. Oh, when I come to God, we might as well be clean with the Lord because He sees our heart and He knows what is in our heart. David said, I don't push my agenda. I want it to be done in God's way and I want it to be done in God's time. Church, if you will remember that David had been appointed and he had been anointed to be king, and yet at least 15 years passed before David, who had been appointed and anointed as the king, was announced as the king. He had to wait. He waited patiently. He was to replace Saul. He never usurped Saul's authority. He never usurped his position. He never usurped his power. He was like, I'm going to wait. I'm just going to wait. Hallelujah. All I am interested in doing is doing it God's way and God's time. And He said, the throne is mine and He'll give it to me when it is time. And David said, in doing so, look at the verse. He said, as I waited patiently before the Lord, He said, He inclined unto me. Oh, hallelujah. He heard my cry and He brought me up and out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock and established my going. And not only that, He had put a new song in my mouth. Hallelujah. And even praise unto our God. And many are going to see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Come on, that's the testimony that I want from the people at the Westmoreland Pentecostal Holiness Church this morning. That whether you're a horrible pit, everybody in this church this morning has a horrible pit. Even Brother Jerry. He just tells God. He don't tell all of y'all. And I'm guilty of getting on the phone or Facebook and telling everybody, this horrible pit. But it could be, I thought about, Lord, give me some things that would need to be preached at Westmoreland for this congregation. It can be a horrible pit of doubt. It can be a horrible terrible pit of debt. It can be depression. Oh, it can be oppression. It can be disappointment, and it can be despair. It can be grief, or it can be loneliness. It can be hurt. It can be a spirit of rejection and a hurt from abandonment. It can be sickness. Come on, church. But it can be guilt, shame, or sin. And I want someone in this service this morning to experience a coming up and a coming out. I want somebody, hallelujah, to experience, hallelujah, the chains to fall off of them to the point that you'll never, ever hear them rattle behind you again. Hallelujah. I want somebody to come up and to come out this morning. Hallelujah. I want us to come up and to come out. Give me some time and let me give you some things that I have studied and the Holy Spirit had poured into me. Many say that as David wrote the 40th Psalm, that he was writing about the picture of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus knew that he was facing the cross and his tears. He wept in agony and wept because he knew what was coming. I want to tell you, he was at that moment in a horrible pit. But let me tell you what the Father did. He did just what he does for me sometimes. He just sent along a ministering angel, hallelujah, to lift his son up. And I believe that he came up and he came out and received the strength to face what he had to face. Some people really believe that what David is saying, that he is seeing Jesus on the cross in a spirit of despair and brokenness as he looks around and all of the disciples just about had fled and had left him there. And he also, as it became dark, he had to cry and he smelled the sins of the world upon him. He cried unto the Father and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But let me tell you, that was a moment of despair and abandonment. But I want to tell you, when Jesus said, it is finished. Hallelujah. He was brought up and he was brought out. And not only that, but 3 days later, he came up and he came out of that grave. Oh, hallelujah, the pit of the grave. He arose, church, and he lives forevermore. But I want to tell you what I believe as I was studying this. I believe that we can see this as a depiction of sinners who are being raised from despair, who are being raised from hopelessness to a place of hope, a place of deliverance, and a place of salvation. I believe also that we can see it as a way of the redeemed being brought up and out of deep trouble and receiving a song in their heart to keep them going forward. Let me tell you, this past week, my husband and I were riding along and I was drowning, and you know my husband is not well, or he would certainly be here with me today. And we were riding along and we were on our way to Wilmington, which is about 1 hour and 15 minutes from us. You know, God will let you live and sometime make you live what he wants you to preach. And we were just riding along and it was one of his 30 radiation treatments that we were going to. And we were in the backside of the county. If I told you the road, Judy would know. We were out on the 9 mile. Oh, we were in the boonies. We were headed down Merle Brown Road, down toward the 9 mile road. And it's hard enough to get a radio signal out there, much less to get a phone signal. But you know, I went the shortcut. I was running a little late that morning, and we were just riding along. And you know, there's a lot of things going on in my mind and in Gary's mind. If you don't know, my husband has been diagnosed with brain cancer, and we were just riding along. That's the doctor's report. Just let me say that. Well, we were riding along, and when you're riding in a warm car, and you know, you just happen, you just thinking and thinking, and you're not saying. You've been married 51 years. You know, you've said it just about all already. And so you're just riding along, and you're thinking, and you're thinking, and I wonder what he's thinking, and I wonder what's going through his mind. I mean, we received some really terrible news here, and being the human beings that we are, I mean, I love my man, and I'm interested in holding on to him, and I pray for a miracle from heaven that we can just have another 50 years. Wouldn't that be a miracle from heaven? But I want to tell you, Lord, it'd be real easy. I kept thinking, well, I'm in a low spot here, and I felt like Gary was in a low spot, and mentally we were in a desolate place in the county, and I felt like right now I'm in a desolate place in my life. But listen, suddenly and unexpectedly, I'm just driving that little buggy along that we got, and all of a sudden I begin to feel something, Brother Jerry. I begin to feel something. Oh, I begin to feel something, Brother Ricky. Hallelujah. I looked over at Gary. I placed my hand on his leg, and I said, Gary, somebody is praying for us. I said, Gary, somebody is praying for us right now. Right now they are praying for us. And suddenly I began to feel like David in this psalm. I believe that the Lord had inclined his ear unto my cry and to your cries. You being crying unto us. And I began to feel a lifting in my spirit. I felt like I was coming up out of that miry clay, out of that horrible pit. And I felt like he was putting my feet on a solid rock and a song in my heart. Come on, I had to experience it. I love the presence of the Lord. But let me come back. Let's talk about David. At this point in David's life, I believe that he was in a place of despair. And many people felt like he was in desolation. And maybe even that he had sunk even into depression. We don't know exactly when this particular scripture was written. Some say maybe it was the time when his infant son was dying because of his sin. Or maybe it was when one of his sons had raped his daughter, or maybe when it was one of his other sons was trying to take over his throne. I'm going to tell you, David knew about despair. He knew about needing a refuge. He knew about needing that. And many scholars, they actually believe that this was really a time when David was feeling in danger of his life, that he had been rejected by Saul, and he felt like, I am in not only difficulty, but I am in danger. I am running for my life from this man who hates me and wants to kill me for no reason whatsoever. I've had to leave the pleasantries of my home and live in caves, and I am on the run. And so it's no wonder he began to feel. But I want to tell you, the scripture said it was a horrible pit. It was a horrible pit. That's what the Word of God said. Oh, it was a horrible pit. I believe that there was just a hole, and there was muck and mire on the bottom, and there was no way to get out. That all he could do with these emotions, come on, it was an emotional hole. It was an emotional place. Some of you are there. I can see it on your face right now. Some of you are in that horrible pit. But even in that season, I believe that David had hope, for he knew who his God was. Hallelujah. And he knew what he was capable of doing. And the Bible said that David said, I waited patiently. You know what that means? That means I waited and I waited and I waited and I waited with an unwavering faith, believing that his delay did not mean a denial. Come on, I believe that David was saying, listen, he knew what it was to have to encourage himself in the Lord. Come on, I believe he was saying, sooner or later, I believe that God, in my refuge, is going to reach way down. Oh, hallelujah, way down where I am. Oh, and hallelujah, he is going to lift me up and deliver me from this current situation. I believe that David believed that there was going to be a day. He said God bent his ear toward him. He inclined. David said he inclined. He inclined. He was like a daddy. David was saying he was like a daddy. When the daddy hears the cry of their children, I don't tell you, that daddy will listen, will you not? Oh, there can be chaos in the room and kids can be bouncing off the wall. But when yours cry, you lend an ear, right? You're inclined. Hallelujah. And I believe that that is what David was saying. And he is going to respond to my voice. Listen, David said he did that. He restored me. He brought me up and also out of a horrible pit. He lifted me out of this captivity. That's what David said. He brought me out of a place where I was sinking. David said, I was submerged. I was stuck. And this clay was on my feet. And it was so heavy that I could not even lift my feet to deliver myself. Can anybody identify? And I want to tell you, David said, he said, I couldn't even attempt. That's what he was saying. I couldn't even attempt to save myself or rescue myself. He said that he pulled me out of the very bottom of a hopeless and a helpless situation. He pulled me out of a cold, dark place where I was close to death. Let me just stop and tell you just a little bit. And I'm sure Brother Jerry has already done this to explain the cavern or the crevice or the dungeon where the prisoners were being held. It was just a hole many times in a rock. That's all it was. It was no pretty little place where they just checked your ID through the, came through the door with TVs on the wall and a nice dining hall. It wasn't like that whatsoever. It was a hole in a rock. And many times that hole, oh, church, get a vision of this. Many times that hole was covered. It was, can you imagine the terror that struck their hearts as the last ray of light was shut off? This is what David was talking about. He was saying, I was in such a place where there wasn't a ray of light. There was not a breath of fresh air. There was no comfort whatsoever. There wasn't even a crack in the rock to promise me escape. It was slippery and it was miry. And I want to tell you, church, to be blunt, it was that way probably because of an accumulation of body waste. Therefore, there was no way for him to gain a foothold. There was no way for him to even stand up. Have you ever been this low? No way can I stand up on my own. No way can I get out. Church, I want to tell you, there was no way of deliverance unless somebody pulled you out. And I want to tell you that somebody is in this room today. Hallelujah. He was in my little car this week, Pastor Ricky. He said, my daughter and my son who have served for me are in a horrible pit. And I am going to pull them out and put a song in their heart. But David said, and I believe he said it with a spirit of thanksgiving, the God that I have patiently waited on has pulled me out and he has placed me by his side and established my standing. Listen, David had a new beginning. He had a new joy. He had a new song of deliverance. And I went back and I believe that David could have sung that old hymn. Oh, that was written in 1898 that said, my heart's overflowing. I'm happy and free. I praise my Redeemer who has rescued me. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on a rock to stay. He puts a song in my soul today, a song of praise. Hallelujah. Then look at verse 3. Let's touch on that. When I look at verse 3, it was like David's intent was that I'm going to praise God to the extent that those around me are going to be able to experience and see the joy that's on the inside of me manifested through the outside of me. You know, kind of like when Brother Jerry gets that leg going. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not only his intent to kick the devil, but his intent to let the people know that I have been brought out. Hallelujah. And my feet are a solid rock. David said, that's my intent. I'm going to express what's on the inside. On the outside, I'm going to praise him to the point that people will want what I got. And that people will want to trust in my God. That they will stand and fear is in that verse. I wish I could find that. He said, he brought me out of Horeb, in the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock and established my, he said, he put a new song in my mouth, even praise. And many shall see it and fear. You know what that meant? That meant they're going to stand in awe. They're going to stand in awe of my God who has the power to deliver. They're going to stand in fear of my God who has the power over death, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah. My God. And David said, I waited. This is the summary of what he said. I waited in patient expectation. And for that, I was not disappointed. For the Lord brought me out. Sometimes I feel like he never will. I feel like he never will. I was sick back in 16, 17. Brother Jerry knows about it. He came to see me, prayed with me. I thought I'd never come out. I thought, I'll never come out. I'll never come out. I had to invoke Isaiah 40 and 31 that says, they that wait upon the Lord, they're going to renew their strength. Come on, hallelujah. They wait with patience. They wait with the word. They wait with prayer. He said, I'm going to renew their strength and they're going to mount up on wings, with wings as of eagles, and they are going to run. Hallelujah. At that time, I couldn't even walk, hardly. Hallelujah. He said, they're going to run. Hallelujah. And they're not going to be weary. And they're going to walk. And they're not going to faint. Oh, it is worth waiting. Don't give up. He is our refuge and our strength. But I want to tell you this. What God did for David, I'm not going to preach about it, but if you want a double portion, go home and read Jeremiah chapter 38 and you'll see that God did it again. He did it again. And I want to tell you what he did for David and what he did for Jeremiah. Hallelujah. He will do for me and he will do for you. And I believe the Holy Spirit was saying that many in the church today, and I believe that he even said in this church today. Come on, I've been going to church a long time. I spend a lot of time on the phone. I spend a lot of time on the internet talking and ministering to Christian people that I just came out of church with or that I am on the way to go to church with. And I want to tell you, there's a whole lot of people in the church that is in a horrible pit. Hallelujah. And they need to be brought out. I believe that there's many this morning that you feel like that you have hit rock bottom. Have you ever been there? I felt like Brother Jerry knows. I felt like when I was sick that I had hit rock bottom. But when I got that low, I found out there was even a lower spot to go to. I feel like I was just sinking lower than even lower. And I was going from bad to worse. I felt like there was no hope, that I was stuck. I couldn't go forward. Oh, hallelujah. I couldn't go backward. I couldn't turn around. I couldn't sit down. I couldn't do anything. All I could do was wait. But I want to tell you, hallelujah. I waited, church. I waited. Brother Jerry would pray with me and for me. And I waited and I waited and I thought, I never will be back in a pulpit again. I'll never have the strength. I'll never be able. My family, my sister, my family prayed. I was in a hole. I wasn't going to preach about me this morning, but I want to tell you what I'm trying to say to you. The devil has no respect for a person. Hallelujah. And he hates you as a child of God. And he's going to dig a hole and see if he can get you in it. But I want to tell you, my refuge and my strength, hallelujah, comes from Jesus. And he will bring me up and he will bring me out. And he did. Come on, I want to tell you, many in this church, I believe, feel like you're in total darkness. You're hiding it. We know how to do it, don't we? I know how to do it. Jenny knows I know how to do it. I know how to do it, church. I know how to do it. I know how to act like everything is all right. I know how to amen. I know. Yeah, I do. We do. We do, don't we? We know just when to praise the Lord. We know just when to clap our hands. And we're so busted on the inside. We're so busted on the inside that we feel like we're in a total place of darkness. And that we've been cut off. And we have been forgotten by God. And the very life is going to be sucked out of us. And we just wonder, Lord, I've been crying for deliverance. Yet I seem to be slipping deeper and deeper and deeper. Have you even heard my voice? Oh, why are you waiting so long? You been there? Oh, Lord, let me remind you this morning again that his delay is not his denial. In church, that deliverance is still available. Hallelujah. For those that are sinking spiritually and physically and financially, mentally and emotionally. I want to talk to you this morning. Let me just give you a few scriptures and I'm going to let you go home. I think I pretty well spit all over Brother Jerry's pulpit. So it's time to go home. But I want to say to you this morning, those of you that are suffering with an illness and you say, how can you do this morning? Your husband is at home, with his verdict hanging over his head. How can you be the one to lift your voice and tell somebody who is in a miry clay, a pit of sickness, that God can and that God will? I want to tell you something. This disease may take my husband home, or it may not. But if it takes him home, I still know that I know that I know that my God can. Let me tell you. It's too late. I was healed of epilepsy. One day I had it, the next day I didn't. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I was healed of ulcers that kept me awake night after night after night. One day I had them, the next day I didn't. It's a little late to tell me that God will not heal. Come on, I want you to grab. We're going to fight with some things. Oh, and declare that the Lord is going to bring us out. And I declare unto you that those of you that are suffering with an illness, I challenge you to grasp the promise from Jeremiah 30 and 17. He said, for I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. I want you to get a hold of Exodus 23 and 25. This says, and you shall serve the Lord your God, and he's going to bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. That's our lifeline. I want you to get it this morning and declare it and leave this place with a spirit of victory, declaring that he brought me out. Hallelujah. And that I am healed. Self-esteem is a dark pit. Low self-esteem. We just think we're no good. Let me tell you, do you know what it's like to know that you're going to Westmoreland to preach behind Jerry Nelson or Ricky Nels? I'm telling you, that'll test your self-esteem in a big hurry. But I want to tell you, if that is you, and that's many in the modern day church today, many of you that are sitting in this church this morning, and this is, I want you to get a hold of this scripture, and I want you to leave shouting today with a spirit of thanksgiving that I took this scripture and I spoke it unto the devil, and the Lord brought me out of the miry clay. He said, and the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandment of the Lord thy God, which I command. If thou hearken, come on, there's a if, you got it in there. If thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee today to observe and do them. Come on, if you got a spirit of fear, a pit of fear, I want you to get a hold of my favorite verse from Isaiah 41 and 10. I want you to get a hold of it and declare, fear thou not, for I am with thee, and be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee in thy time of rend and in righteousness. I want you to allow him to pull you up. Come on, we quote it. That's the way we fight. That's the way we get rid of these. That's just the way we fight our battles, is it not? It's with the word. It is with the word. Oh, if you this morning are going through a financial failure, I want you to get a hold of the word of God from Philippians 4:19. You say, oh, we say this all the time. Yeah, we say it, but do we pray it and declare it and decree it? For thou shalt supply all of my need according to his riches and glory. And say it again and say it again until the check comes in the mail that you were not expecting, and he brings you up and out of that miry clay and sets your feet on a solid rock to stay. Come on. To that one who is suffering from demonic oppression, he said in James 4:7, draw near to God, hallelujah, resist the devil, and he will flee, oh, say it, until he brings you out. It's the word. It's the word. Come on, I thought about the pit of grief and loneliness, that we can get a hold of the word. We fight with the word. Come on, it makes a difference, church, how we pray and how we wait. And while we're waiting, while we're praying and while we're waiting, we are using the word. I'm going to tell you, there's nothing more powerful. Nothing. Than to say back to God what he said to you. Yeah, Terry Trammell, don't y'all just love Terry Trammell? Y'all ever heard Terry Trammell? He said, if you want to hear the voice of God, just read the word out loud. Just read the word out loud or have somebody to read it to you. But I want to tell you, he said to those that are in that pit of grief and loneliness, he said in Hebrews 13:5, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. Church, I got to get a hold of that. I got to get a hold of that. Come on, we have to preach sometime to ourselves, to that one who is in the pit of turmoil. We need to get a hold of Isaiah 26:3. For thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And declare that unto the enemy, and walk out in a spirit of thanksgiving in this season, because the Lord has brought you up and he has brought you out. I could just go on and I could go on and come go on. Let me say to you this morning that sometimes those horrible pits are a result of our own doing and our own digging. Come on. Oh, me. That's. But I went back and I read from Lamentations 3:23. And it assured me that whether I did it or whether I dug it, that deliverance was possible. Because his mercies never fail me. He said, they are new every morning, and great is your faithfulness. Church, I want to tell you, we can make it, for there is always hope, because there's always Jesus. Because there's always Jesus. And I love the old saying that is so true. He sits high, but he looks low. I want to tell you, he promised me in Psalms 23:6, that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. They're running after me. Listen, I've been praying that. If you've never heard the song, The Goodness of the Lord by Bethel Music, you need to pull it out. I've been praying that. That's been my prayer to Jesus morning after morning. And I can just see goodness and mercy. They're running after me. They're running after me. Brother Jerry, they're running after us. That's a favor we were talking about last night. I want to tell you something. Jesus loves everybody, but everybody doesn't have his favor. Come on, I want to live close enough to the Lord that I have his favor. I want to tell you the surely goodness and mercy. Judy. Goodness and mercy is following you, honey. You know that. Oh, Lola Boshandai. You know the situation. Let me speak to the unsaved and I'm going to quit. I want to say to any unsaved in this room today that feel as if you are stuck in a dark, miry pit of sin and guilt, that there is hope. For Romans 3:23 says, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But do you know what John 1:9 says? 1 John 1:9, he said, don't you love the word? He said, Janice, if you'll just confess your sins, I am faithful and I am just to forgive you of your sins. And not only that, but I'm going to cleanse you, hallelujah, from all unrighteousness. David wrote Psalms 40, but that's not the only one he wrote. Let me tell you, David, back in Psalms 51, back in Samuel, the book of Samuel, David experienced a horrible pit. When he yielded to a spirit of lust. Come on, some that maybe are saved this morning, you're thinking, well, you know, that don't ever happen to anybody that's in the church. And all you people think you're better than me. I want to tell you something. We better not boast lest we fall. We better not boast lest we fall. And David found himself in a situation. He yielded. He committed adultery. Many of you know the story. It led to the death of an innocent man and an innocent baby. Brother Ricky, I believe he was in total misery. Bathsheba might have been a cutie and he might have enjoyed her when she was in his presence. But I want to tell you, when the lights go out at night and when you're all by yourself and you can't sleep because you can't get it off your mind. Come on. We've all been there, right? I believe that was true of David. I believe he would feel like, I'm swallowed up in guilt. I am swallowed up. Come on, I'm talking about a man after God's own heart. Come on, we got to talk to the church. Brother Jared doesn't mind. I've heard him lay it out there. Don't quit, brother. Don't quit. Nobody in this church will be able to stand before God and say, well, Jerry Nelson never told me. But I want to tell you, I believe that David was saying, he said in Psalms 51:3, he said, my sin is ever before me. Have you ever thought about that? I thought he was saying, I can't eat. I can't sleep. I can't rule as a king. I can't think about anything else. All I can think about is what I have done. I believe conviction was eating him alive. Holy Spirit, do it again. We don't even talk about conviction anymore. I'm an old person from the Pentecostal Holiness Church. Every sermon was about conviction. We were convicted of this and convicted of that and convicted of this. And we're in trouble now because we are not convicted of this and not convicted of that. And because we have slowly become like the world. I'm talking about me. But I believe that David, as he began to confess, he said, against you, I have sinned and done evil in your sight. How many of you turned your face to heaven and said that recently? And I believe that as he said those words, I believe he began to feel it coming up. I believe that. Brother Jerry, I believe he began to feel something. He said in verse 7, he said, purge me with hyssop. You know what he was saying? It was the hyssop that put the blood on the doorpost when the children of Israel were leaving Egypt. And David said, put it all over me. Smear me good. Oh, get me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Purge washed me with his, and he said, and I shall be clean, and wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. And he said in verse 12, restore unto me the joy of my salvation, and uphold me with a free spirit. I want to tell you, church, nobody is so dirty that God cannot clean them up. So I gladly proclaim to any unsaved in this church this morning that the blood of Jesus is stronger than anything that you have ever done in your life. And he will deliver you and bring a new song. He will lift you up out of that miry clay. Hallelujah. He will put a new song in your heart. And the people that you all used to hang out with, they will see it. And they will fear the God that you serve. And they will want a part of that in their life. Hallelujah. Because they can see what he did and know what he has done. I want to tell you, this scripture is for the church. I challenge you this morning, the unsaved, to give your heart to Jesus and leave singing. I'll sing of his wonderful mercy to me. I'll praise him till all men his goodness shall see. I'll sing of salvation at home and abroad till many shall hear the truth and trust in God. He brought me out of the miry clay and he set my feet on a rock to stay. He puts a song in my soul today. A song of praise. Hallelujah. To the redeemed, many of you have prayed with fervency. And many of you have waited patiently with the assurance and a spirit of expectation like David did. And I believe that today is an appointed day of deliverance for somebody in this church. Somebody is in the dark. I know we can't come as we have before. But I felt this thing. I might have preached to you too long. I'm sorry if I did. But I have felt this thing. And I really believe that the Lord was saying to someone here today, I am here. I've heard your cry. You've waited and you have waited and you have waited. Listen, I have an answer to a prayer that I've been waiting for since the promise I was given in 1985. I'm an old person. Way back then, Holy Spirit spoke a word of prophecy over me from a woman of God that I knew was a woman of God. I'm waiting, Sister Teresa. I'm waiting. I'm waiting patiently. And I'm waiting in a spirit of expectation. That might be one spot in my life where I feel like it's in a pit. But I'm going to tell you, there's so many where my feet are dancing. Hallelujah. And I'm not going to allow that mud to drag me down. I rejoice in him. Can you just bow your heads, Father? You're a good, good Father. A good, good Father. We praise you and we declare your excellence in this place. You have children in this place that are in despair. You have children in this place that have been chased and hated wrongly. You have children in this place that have slipped and fallen. You have children that feel as if they are bound. They cannot see the light of day. They cannot feel the breath of God. They're in captivity. The chains are binding them. And they feel as if they're going to suffocate under the load. For them this day, I declare they will leave this place in a spirit of thanksgiving. And a shout that he brought me out of the miry clay. And he set my feet on a rock to stay. Come on. Pastor Ricky's going to play it for us. But Lord, I also pray for the unsaved who are in a pit of sin and shame that are shackled. And I declare today that you're going to open up the heavens. Open up the heavens. Open up the heavens. And shine the light of Jesus in their heart. And let them know what it feels like to come up and out. And be free. Be free from their past. Their heads bowed. I asked, is there anyone in this service that is unsaved? And you would have us pray for you. I'm not going to ask you to come forward unless you want to come forward. But if you're in a pit of shame, sin, and guilt, you're like David and you want to be free. If you would just lift your hands. Now, I want us all to lift our hand. I want you to lift your hands right now. And I want you to speak to God about that pit. That horrible pit. That's what the scripture said. Horrible pit in your life. And ask Him to bring you out. And to set you on a solid rock. On the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. That rock is Jesus. Lord, bring a peace and a deliverance to every soul in this place this morning. Brother Jerry, do you want to come speak to your people? Brother Ricky, do you want to lead us in that song?
He brought me out of the mud.
That's an old hymn. Sing it like a camp meeting time.
Feet on the rock to stay.
He puts
a song in my soul today, a song of praise. Hallelujah. Come on, sing it with me. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He puts a song in my soul today, a song of praise. Hallelujah.
Sister Darnell, come back and sing that song, God is My Refuge. If you can play it, fine. If not, play it. I want you to sing it to the CD. There are some of you that you need to find that refuge today. We got an altar here, and you can spread out, but you need to get up from where you are. Say, God, this is my expression of faith. I'm going to this altar. I promise you one thing, there's a fire on this altar. The Bible says the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. We come in on Friday nights. We remove all the ashes. We put fresh fire on this altar every week. Every week we can. I want her to sing this song. I want you to allow the Holy Spirit. Powerful word we've heard this morning, but I want you to hear the Holy Spirit speaking to you in this final moment, the summation of what we've heard. God is my refuge.
Of doubt hover over me. The storms of life toss me to and fro. There's a place of refuge that I can go. He's a shield over every tempest. And He's an anchor so sure and true. In times like these, it's good for me to know that God
Lord, I need a refuge.
My refuge.
Lord, I need help. The Lord is speaking to you.
And mighty tower.
Find that place of peace in Him.
That I can run to. God is my refuge. Without Him, tell me what would I do?
Don't you just love to feel His presence? Lay your hand on the person next to you. Let that power flow to them.
Once I was drifting far from the shelter. Just up ahead, I could not see those dark clouds, so heavy and full of rain.
Thank you, Lord.
But when those winds blew hard and the billows did roll from the raging sea, peace came the moment I called out His name. And I know that God is my refuge. He's a strong and mighty tower that I can run to. God is my refuge. Without Him, tell me what would I do? Without Him, tell me what would I do? Tell me what would I do? What would I do?
Listen to the Spirit as she sings the next verse here. You find that peace that your heart cries for.
Once I was drifting far from the shelter, just ahead. But when the winds blew hard and the billows did roll in from the raging sea, peace came the moment I called out His name. strong and mighty tower that I can run to. God is my refuge. Without without him, tell me what would I do?
You know the Holy Spirit, He'll wait for you. If we'll wait for Him. The ladies to come and gather around. Sister Candace says, I want God to be glorified and the devil to be horrified.
Yes,
amen. I like that.
My refuge.
I tell you, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous people, it availeth much. That's the heart felt prayer, the prayers that come from a heart that's on fire for God. Lord, you know every need that's represented as I anoint my sister. Lord, and I'm going to anoint her sister at the same time. And I break the bondage of the devil. We command the yoke to be destroyed right now in Jesus. In the name of Jesus, by the power of Calvary's blood, and the great commission of the Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you, Lord, that your name carries authority. We want God to be glorified, for the devil to be horrified, because the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, a righteous people, it availeth much. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. Thank you, Lord, for victory. Lord, as we anoint our sister here, we curse that brain tumor. We command it to shrink, to get smaller and smaller. And God, I know others right now that are battling in this same area. And Lord, we lift them up. I lift Greg Davis up in prayer. I lift that family, Paul Jackson, up in prayer. I lift Gary Marshman up in prayer. I lift those that are going through terrible, dark places right now. Let the light of your glory, Lord, let your glory shine into it. Lord, you spoke to me, said, I will show you my glory. Woo! We praise you, Lord, for showing yourself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards you. Lord, you are our perfection. That just means our heart is stayed upon you. It is fixed upon you. And our eyes are upon you, Lord Jesus.